Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh!
Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like, if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him, too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jackson weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play. Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big playoff show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studio in sunny Southern California. I didn't have a clever line this time. I have reoriented the studio so that the microphone is having me face the main TV screen, which is normally to my right, so you can't even see it when I normally do the podcast. So I'm typically doing the show by putting something on the actual computer rather than my regular TV, or using a laptop, or using an iPad, or something like that. But tonight, with there being a playoff game 7 in the NHL between the Stars and the St. Louis Blues, with there being a huge pivotal game 5 between the 76ers and the Toronto Raptors, and with there being an incredibly sheer, to be fair, Detroit Tigers Anaheim Angels baseball game, I mean, we just had to get all this stuff rolling tonight on the screen. We've got a lot going on. We're ready to do our NBA report, and as you can tell, we did not do the baseball update last week, and that's because we couldn't work out the scheduling. Fids wasn't available, and Cap wasn't available on the various days, so we've rescheduled it for this week, and tentatively, we have it scheduled for Thursday night. So we'll be back here, and I may not need to put up all the screens again this time around, but tonight, it's going to be everything on the table, and as a result, you may hear my voice come in a little different, and it's because that mic is in a different spot, and I'm further away from it because I gotta talk while I'm watching all the games at the same time. So hopefully there won't be any connection issues as a result. All the stuff runs through the internet. I run PlayStation View now, and it has a multi-screen feature, which allows me to watch 3 games at the same time. 4 games, really, actually. But I couldn't find an even more useless baseball game to add to the to this setup, and so we'll leave it the way it is. And we will continue to cover this incredible NBA playoffs. We have had like 3 series tied at 2. No, I think it's at least 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 3 series tied at 2, and then the Celtics series. So let's get all of you caught up on the particulars and get into the semifinal round of the playoffs. It's been a lot of fun. Let's jump it. The NBA report for May 7th. Yes, indeed. 3 series in the semifinal round tied at 2 games apiece, and 1, which appears to be getting away from the Boston Celtics. The Bucks in that game 4 at the TD Garden completely... I wouldn't say they humiliated the Celtics, but they really did make them look pretty feeble near the end of the very important game 4. So the Bucks, after having lost their first game resoundingly, have come all the way back and now have a commanding 3-1 series lead as the series goes back to Milwaukee for game 5. Not looking good, and especially not looking good for Boston when you consider that Kyrie Irving has had just a miserable three games since that game 1. So as much as the Celtics figured out Giannis in game 1, the Bucks have thrown it all back at Milwaukee. I'm sorry, the Bucks have thrown all back at the Celtics for games 2, 3, and 4. So it's very interesting how that turned. Things turning. The Raptors series, in an interesting way, had a mini turn in game 4. It did look like the Sixers starting to take command of the series, but Kawhi Leonard put the team on his back, led them to a crucial game 4 win, taking it in Philadelphia 101-96. And tonight, they are up 64-43 at the half in Toronto in Game 5. Trailblazers Nuggets series, we'll get to that later. Warriors Rockets series, we'll get to that later too. But as we mentioned, both of those series tied at 2. They've been, the Trailblazers Nuggets series seems like the best series so far in the semis. I mean, it's been really fun. And teams you can root for too. It's like it's really good. The Warriors Rockets is the very antithesis, and I'm actually disappointed that it's tied 2-2, because it means we got to get extra games. I'd rather that was just be over with. I really don't think that the Rockets are going to win the series. And, you know, there's nothing about the series that convinces me otherwise. You know, Harden can score 30 points or 50 points or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, it really is the Warriors who are winning and losing these games more than anything else. And that's a strong statement, but I believe it. You know, they had 2 shots to win the game in Game 4, the Rockets did. They blew a chance. The Warriors did. Blew the chance to win Game 4. And they certainly had their chances in Game 3. To be fair, they were trailing most of the game. They did tie the game. They went to overtime. Definitely a lot of opportunities there, but Steph Curry just wasn't playing very well. Now, I got to stop because I don't want to do the entire show by myself. It sounds like I'm just doing the whole show, and I don't want to do that because Chris is a very good basketball expert, and he joins us now. Chris, good to have you with us. As you can see, a lot of juice. We may as well call it the Minute Maid round because there's just so much juice in the NBA playoffs right now. How's it going tonight?
Good. I thanks for having me again. I would disagree with one of your opening points. The Celtics did get humiliated in Game 4. I mean, I'm sorry. You're too kind, Dave. That was that's not humiliating. I don't know what is. I mean, when do you see Boston Garden booing in a playoff game? I mean, that was bad.
Well, that ending was pretty ugly. There's no question about it. I think we can start with that series, and since since you're pretty close to that series, I'm going to give you the floor first. What did you see in these last 3 games?
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, yeah, Kyrie has been, let's face it, I mean, he was awful in Game 4. And he shot only, he shot 31%. He was 7 of 22. He was a minus 6 in plus minus. He had 4 turnovers by himself. I mean, he was, you know, for a guy who really, you know, when you think about the Celtics, they brought him in here for the playoffs. He's been really, really big disappointment. And you got to start there. And, you know, he's got to take, you know, the lion's share of the blame on this, particularly in light of his comments, you know, earlier this season when, you know, or before the postseason when he said, these young guys, they don't know how to win in the playoffs. It's like, well, all right, well, we're, you know, the Celtics are on the verge of elimination now. And last year they made it to the conference finals. I know it wasn't as, the conference wasn't as strong, but still, I mean, you know, to make that point and then to really lay an egg in the playoffs. I mean, he was bad in Game 3 too. He shot 8 of 22 in Game 3, and it was a minus 7 plus minus. So, this is gonna, you know, this will be remembered that the Celtics failed in large part because of Kyrie. There's plenty of blame to go around, though. Gordon Hayward's been really bad and just looks kind of tentative. And, you know, what you've seen is a lot of the same stuff you've seen all year, Dave. The terrible third quarters. I mean, they were winning last night's game at the half by 2 and just got, you know, the Bucks came out and just blew their doors off in the third quarter, and that was the game. And that's been like a trend for whatever reason. I don't know what happens in the locker room, but they come out in the second half and they just looked awful. And that you see that trend, and then you've seen just a lot of sloppy play, especially last night, a lot of sloppy play, you know, with just not a lot of crisp passing and just shooting the ball early and, you know, in the shot clock and just not being patient. And, yeah, it was really frustrating. But, you know, Milwaukee's the better team, and they were the better team all season. You know, you just give them credit. They've really come out and played well. And, I mean, obviously Giannis is the story there. I mean, he's been fantastic. And, you know, you mentioned the first game where I think he shot about 33% from the floor. And, you know, he scored 22 points, but he wasn't great. And he was like a minus 22 or something like that in that game. But he's really picked it up and, you know, he's been outstanding, averaging 28 points per game in the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, this is a formidable team, Dave. And I think they're going to go to, you know, it's a one seed, so I'm not going out on a limb here, but I think they're going to go in and
beat the Warriors.
I think they're going to be in the finals.
Oh, okay. Right.
But you know, but yeah, actually, that brings up another thing. I mean, just seeing George Hill burn Kyrie. I mean, I'm not even, you know, I haven't even talked about his defense. Kyrie's been lousy on defense, and it's really hurt them. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, has Kyrie played his last game for the Celtics up in Boston? Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, he may not even know. But and it was, if that was his last game in Boston, it was a bad one. It was not a memorable game. I mean, I got to think these last two games. I mean, I can't go through the entire history of the guy's career with Cleveland, but that's got to be his two worst playoff games. I can't imagine he's been worse than that in every way. I mean, just really, just awful. I mean, especially the turnovers. So, anyways, I don't expect this game tomorrow night. I don't expect we're going to be talking about the Celtics next week. Let's put it that way. So, I think this series will be over when it goes back to Milwaukee for game five. And kudos to the Bucks, man. They look like a real tough team, and they're built really well. And if they get Brogdon back, look out, because I mean, it's crazy. I mean, they haven't needed Brogdon, and these guys have stepped up. George Hill and Pat Connaughton really has really filled in well and just made some big shots and some nice passes. I mean, they've done a fantastic job.
George Hill, you got to give him he just came out of nowhere. And I was like, I remember that guy. Like, that was definitely crazy. He was all over the court in those last two games. Same thing for Giannis. I mean, he came back with a vengeance. Like they couldn't stop him. It was really something. So I come out of this and I say, you know what, Milwaukee's a good team. Like that they're pretty good. And I think the giant point differential they've had all year was 8 or 9. But either one, I mean, they really showed that how good they really were, and certainly the Celtics did not help. You ran that down beautifully. That's probably the only thing that was beautiful about the series up to now. I mean, it's the rundown, but the series itself, not so much. So now I agree. I said it at the when the series began that the winner of this series will be the winner of the East, and it's really looking like a green. Well, it was going to look like a green East champion no matter what, because they both are green. But it's going to be a Milwaukee green East champion the way things are going. So,
I got one more stat for you because this is interesting. Leader in plus minus for this series for Milwaukee at 9.5, George Hill.
Wow.
I mean, the stat can be misleading.
You can't make it up. It's
dependent upon who's on the court. And I mean, you know, I mean, no one's going to say Giannis isn't the best player, even though his plus minus is 1.8, but Giannis plays a lot more minutes. And so that skews things a bit too, but it is interesting. I mean, Hill's Hill's had a terrific series, especially the last two games. He's really come on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I did not expect that kind of defense out of Connaughton either. The blocks and the just incredible defense he made. I just thought he just stood there and shot threes, but I guess that's a terrible oversight on my part. I think he did. He certainly was doing more than that the last couple of games. So I think that's a good place to. I think that's pretty much it. I mean, the depth of the Bucks seemed to bear itself out. I think the Celtics could have been helped by Marcus Smart's appearance on defense, but truthfully, I don't know if it would have made that much of a difference because the defense just was bad. Like, everybody was just sucking on defense for the Celtics in these, you know, for most of the series, really. And it's just a matter of, usually when this team had been defined by the defense sparking big plays on the other end, and here, it's almost as if they have to do the reverse now because they're not putting that kind of effort like they normally do. Something is definitely different about how things have gone. And I don't want to speculate on that. All I can say is that the old matchups after game one have been overwhelming in favor of Milwaukee.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll just point out that a week ago we were sitting here and we were watching game two of that series. And, you know, the Celtics had won convincingly in game one. They won by 15 points, but there was that stat I pulled out where I think it was like the conference semifinal series where the road team wins by more than 15 points in game one has never won the series. And it looks like that, I think it was like 0-4. So it's a small sample, but again, it doesn't happen that often that the road team wins by 15 points in a conference semifinals on the road. It looks like that is going to bear out again, Dave. So,
yeah, that's an interesting stat though, isn't it? It's like, I've seen that many times. Like I saw the most famous example I can think of was when Allen Iverson led the 76ers to beat a Laker team that was beating everybody in the playoffs. Game one goes overtime at Staples Center, and a lot of the Philly fans are like pumping up their chests, you know, just strutting their stuff. And it's like, yeah, but they needed Allen Iverson to score like 50 points to win that game. So you get the sense that, you know, let's see what happens in game two. And then the Lakers just took over the series. Like, Celtics never came close the rest of the series. So there's definitely a lot of those examples and fewer of the ones where the underdog team won that game one and then went on to win the series the rest of the way.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't remember that game, but that's interesting. I'll have to look that one up. 50 points in that game, huh?
I don't know if it was 50. I will look up game one, 2001 NBA Finals. I love that finals because it was kind of fun. There was a lot of hype building leading into it because Iverson was having such a big year. And it was, you know, even though it was a five-game finals, I think we still got a lot out of it. I will admit that I think in one or two other games got kind of close. But then Derek Fisher would often have daggers to clinch those respective games, especially game five. Very exciting moments, certainly.
48 points in game one. You're almost...
Wow!
Almost, yeah, 48 points.
You know, it's just funny how that you get that impression. You're like, oh, he must have scored 50 points. And it's like 48. Yeah, it's right there.
Wow.
Yep. Wow.
Good job out of you.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, I mean, hey, my instinct was good to me tonight. So there it is. Yeah, Milwaukee's going to take on the team that wins the other East series. The Sixers versus the Raptors. As we mentioned, it's tied at 2-2. And as of now, it was a 21-point lead for Toronto. Now it's a 16-point lead. I wouldn't put that one to bed yet because you know that both teams are capable of giving up the lead late in the game. So it's not over till it's over in that one. But I'll just quickly say that this has been a Kawhi series. And when I say that, Kawhi has literally carried the team quite literally on his back in some cases. Like, he's just dragging this team along. Because you're just getting shit performances out of Kyle Lowry. You're getting shit performances out of, Marc Gasol. You're getting dog shit performances out of Fred VanVleet. You haven't heard Fred VanVleet's name in any of the NBA shows for the last 2 weeks. He stinks. I looked up one of the box scores. It was game 3. And VanVleet played 20 minutes. He had 1 point. Chris, 1 point. That's terrible. You know, Ibaka had been playing that well. And then game 4, things started to come together. But the only constant with that entire team has been Kawhi. And I can see why that would be frustrating for a Toronto fan. It's like, guys, you guys were doing all the stuff during the regular season, and nobody's stepping up to the plate except Kawhi Leonard. Come on. But on the flip side, you're like, dude, he is really putting the team on his back and playing great basketball. And he's saved his best basketball for the most important game. So it's really been great. So, you know, there's frustration for the Sixer fan, for the Raptors fan. For the 76ers fan, frustration because it just never seems like everybody's sharp at the same time. And specifically on the defensive end, they just don't bring the intensity on the defensive end, even though they're a really talented team. And it seems like they can, if you looked at game 2, and maybe a little bit of game 3, but mentally, they are just as weak as Toronto. It's just like, I can see both fan bases being really, really strung out after these 4 games so far, and then tonight's game as well, because you just never seem to get the sense that they're going to put it all together for more than one game at a time. But consequently, it also means that the series has been pretty even. And while seemingly uneven in moments, it's been ultimately a competitive best of 7. So let me get your thoughts on it. I kind of took the lion's share of that one. But what do you think about the series so far?
Dave, we got some juice. This is turning into a fun one, isn't it? Because it's just been so back and forth. I lost audio, so I missed the last part of what you're saying. A couple things. One, going into the series, I would have thought that one of the advantages, and I probably mentioned this going into it, was for the Raptors was their depth, is that, you know, they have guys who come off the bench and who can fill in capably. And you mentioned Fred VanVleet as an example, and he's been awful. He's 1-for-13 in this series. Mm. That's 7.7% from the floor, 0-for-7 from 3.
Oh my God. Jeez.
Yeah. Awful. Yeah. He's been absolutely awful. He's a minus 31 for the series. And that's in limited minutes. Kyle Lowry's been terrible too. He's shooting under 40%, 20% from 3 for the series. Just, he's been miserable. I mean, every time I look up, I'm like, oh, here's Lowry from the court. Oh, miss. I mean, he's just, and he's getting open looks too. It's not like they have Butler all over him. The Raptors, it really, there's no other way to put it. It's been the Kawhi Leonard show.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been great tonight. He's struggled a little bit. But we'll see what he does in the second half. The thing that's interesting to me is just that how it's kind of gone back and forth and how our expectations have changed over this series because how are we on the breakaway? There we go. Fast break, point, bucket. It's just, you know, there was a 2-game stretch where Embiid looked like, you know, I mean, was just fantastic. And the last 2 games, he's been awful. I mean, it's amazing, you know, because there was, you know, NBA Twitter was all abuzz, like, oh, is Embiid, you know, the greatest? Is he in discussion for one of the great centers of all time? And then all of a sudden, he's been lousy. And still, like, even, you know, he was terrible in game four. I just want to check the box score so I have my numbers correct. But he was 2-for-7. I mean, for a center to be 2-for-7, I mean, come on. And somehow it was a plus 17 in the plus minus. I don't know how that happened, but and particularly in a game they lost, how, you know, to be plus 17 is kind of impressive. But yeah, I don't know. I just got really uncomfortable with, like, because Philly, you know, they took games 2 and 3, and you know, they look like they're on a roll, you know, because you know, they kind of embarrassed you know, they embarrassed Toronto in game 3. They've won by over 20. And it just looked like, okay, they're going to steamroll them now. And then game 4, the Raptors won in Philadelphia. And so our expectations have kind of changed from game to game. But it's been exciting just to see Kawhi because he's so dominant. It's the surprising thing is just how much deeper Philadelphia has looked in the series. But yeah, I do agree though. I think Milwaukee's the class of the East, but now Toronto appears to have all the momentum, and I think, you know, Toronto, and if it's Toronto and Milwaukee, it should be a fun one, you know?
That will be fun, but I think we have a decent chance of Toronto winning this game tonight. And, you know, if they do, this is definitely putting the Raptors in position that we haven't really seen yet in this specific era of their franchise. And that's good. It's good that they're finally turning this around, but it's like, oh, cool. It's funny because it's like all the guys that were there before that you mentioned were starting or not starting. They really are doing the same stuff. It's just like they're just not putting up a big. They're just not putting up a game. They're not performing. But the guy that came in, Kawhi, is every bit the competitor he's been with San Antonio, and that's funny to think about because people have made this point. You know, my friend made this point this morning. Jacob Rosales Hunt did, and he said that it's amazing to think that people were thinking, man, has he lost his competitive edge after all that stuff in San Antonio? Has he lost it? Is he ever going to be the same guy again? And here he is, not only being the same guy, but maybe even a little more than the same guy that we saw back in 2014 with San Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a legitimate question. We basically hadn't seen the guy play for like a year and a half. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, when that trade went down, we were talking about on this show, we didn't know what Kawhi was going to look like because we hadn't seen him in forever. And so, yeah, it was totally a legitimate question. And now to see him come out and play like this, though, I mean, he's been phenomenal. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the reason I said Milwaukee, Toronto would be fun just because you've got those two superstars, you know, one on each side. And I think it'd be a lot of fun. And Beat's just too up and down, man. I mean, it's just, you know, you never know what you're going to get. And he's like, he's got a stomach ache one game. He's got a cold. His knee is hurting.
Something always up, yeah.
There is always something, right? And it's like, he's a legit talent. I mean, there's no question. Like, you know, if you were to like draft, I mean, if you were to draft players under, you know, under 30, he'd be high up there. But man, you have to take into account the fact that A, he's hurt a lot, and you know, and it has been his entire career. I don't know. I hope he has a long career. I don't particularly like a lot of his antics, and he kind of a lot of things he does really rubs me the wrong way. But I just, for the good of the league, I think I hope he has a very, very long and healthy career. And plus, you know, we really haven't had that dominant big, and the league's been kind of going away from that. And so it'd be, you know, it gives a little nice little flavor to the league to have that guy, because he's, you know, a little bit of a throwback. We haven't had, you know, the Shaq level talent, or, you know, just one of those big guys who's one of the dominant players who also happens to play center. So Yeah, but it's weird. Just it's amazing. Toronto's up by 19 right now in the third. And it just all of a sudden it looks like they've got all the momentum and Philly, man, Philly's got to find themselves now. But I totally agree. I think the Denver Portland series has been the best, most interesting, but this is a close second. This is a very close second.
It is, because even within each, even going into each game, you really don't know what to expect. Like, it would seem logical that the Raptors win tonight's game. And I think they will. I mean, like, I know we've seen crazy comebacks before, but they're up 18 with 6:42 left in the third, and it's a second round. I mean, I don't quite see a Clippers happening here, but assume they did win. It would seem logical that they would close it out in game six, but we don't know that. We think, you know, it's possible that the Sixers could come back and, you know, Tobias Harris has an enormous game or somebody like that, or Boban does. And now Boban, if that happened, I'm sure we both would be doing, we'd be doing backflips. We'd be so excited about that. But it's like, there's no telling. Like, maybe Embiid's going to be feeling good for a day and he'll dominate that game. So we don't know. It does make that very interesting how with each game, it could be a completely different story.
Yeah, that game on Sunday, that was game three, was quite memorable because it was so close the entire game. It was just kind of back and forth. And with about a minute left, Kawhi hit that big three. And you texted me when it happened. But that was, you know, that was one of the better games in the playoffs, in fact. I've just been enjoying this. And you know, it's fun to watch basketball games where you're not really emotional about it. You know, the Celtics games have been driving me crazy.
Yeah.
And so this has been a nice little respite from that, just from the craziness. Although I do like Kawhi a lot. So it's been, oh man, Danny Green just hit a huge three. They're up 80-57. Toronto is so.
That's
is
a huge lead.
It is a huge lead. Yeah. The other guy who's disappointed me has been Simmons. I don't even know what to say. You know, he's just kind of, I don't know, just very unimpressive. And when you get a guy who's, you know, when you get a guy who can't shoot the ball. And, you know, he's got to do a lot of other things to impress. And he's just been, just a letdown. I mean, because Butler's been fantastic. And Bede at times has been fantastic. And Simmons just been kind of a dud, in my opinion.
That's an interesting observation. You know, they have a lot of great players on the Sixers. So in every game, sometimes someone else steps up. But you sometimes, because that many great players, we forget or we don't catch as much notice when someone's not doing well. And you're right, Simmons has not stepped up his game at all. He's been practically invisible. And one of several people we'll talk about being invisible in the playoffs this round. So very good point.
Yeah, Siakam just went coast to coast. It was so nice.
Wait, really? Oh, yeah. I'm watching this now. Oh my gosh, that's pretty good.
And he's been, you know, he's been a mixed bag this playoffs too. And I was super high on him, and of course I think he was questionable for that game on Sunday. He was battling some kind of injury, but seems to be playing well tonight. And I was just thinking, I was listening to the NBA radio and they were talking about the Sixers and their defense has been great. This was before game three. Before game four. Game four was Sunday. That's the one I'm talking about. And he was talking about how like the defense of the Sixers come alive I think the Raptors are just beating themselves. They're missing open looks. Let's face it, the Sixers are not a great defensive team. And they have a couple players
were good, like Butler and Embiid. But I mean, I'm sorry, no one else on that team, in my opinion, is a good defender. In the regular season, they were just, you know, in the teens. They were lower tier defensively and defensive rating. So it kind of bugged me for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, this is why, you know, when we started talking about the playoffs, I said to you, I didn't trust Toronto. I'm like, these guys, they have all these stats in the regular season, but they continue to lay eggs in big spots. And it is very interesting, just to circle back to our opening comments of the series, how much of a difference maker Kawhi is. And I think that's the way I want to place it. I want it to be a positive spin rather than a negative one, saying, see, well, without Kawhi, you guys would be nothing, which not only is true, but I don't want to emphasize that so much. I think it's just important to show how big he is as a player and how good he can be.
Plus, you can do that for every team, Dave. I mean, like, yeah. What am I going to say? Oh, without Giannis, Milwaukee is, you know, Mirotic and, you know, and George Hill shooting, you know, from three. I mean, it's, of course. I mean, you can do that for every single team. Right. I mean, come on.
That's true. But go ahead.
No, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it does go to show you that that's what Toronto needed the whole time. They needed a true game changer, like a truly good superstar to make this team really take the next level. Now we're seeing it. And as hopefully for me, I mean, I know we're both rooting for Toronto here. We want them to finish the series because they've worked so hard to get here. And as long as they finish this game, they're on the driver's seat. But as I mentioned, with two games remaining, one of them in Philadelphia, you know, still gotta finish the deal. Or else, you know, all that talk about, oh, the Raptors, they've done it, doing it again. Here we go. I mean, did you see the tweet I sent you this morning about the headline that said that Kawhi saved an entire era of Raptors basketball? I laughed so hard at that. But, you know, they're not exactly wrong, right?
Well, I mean, how do you define an era, though? I mean, really? I mean, because like I said last week, this is a team that's got four different starters from a year ago. Mm-hmm. So what is it, like the I mean, they have a new coach.
Yeah.
So is it the Kyle Lowry era?
I assume it's the Kyle Lowry, I mean, Ibaka era. So that's like 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's
out of reach.
I think so. They were the second best team in the East. They were, they were close to, you know, with Milwaukee. That was, you know, that kind of came down to the wire. You know, they're in a tough battle with the three seed right now. I mean, there's nothing like, you know, there's nothing shameful about this. I mean, and you know, it looks like they're going to advance. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I think they'll advance anyways. So, you know, this is what's supposed to happen, right? I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, we envisioned this is what a lot of basketball experts envisioned with the Raptors as doing exactly this, you know, making a run to the finals, tough gamer, being a competitive team, putting teams on the brink, all that stuff. They didn't do any of that in the last like 5 years prior to this one. So, in the first round, sure, but I mean, after that. So you're right. It's very interesting.
Very strange celebrity sighting in Toronto. Dabo Swinney is watching the game wearing a Toronto Raptors T-shirt, and I have to wonder what the heck,
what inspired
what's
this?
He doing there? That's a strange one, Dave. Isn't
it? It's very random. I don't know. When did he become a Raptors fan? I don't even know.
Who knows? I mean, I would guess. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's on a recruiting trip
right now.
Yeah. That's a strange one.
That's a nice shot that you just made. Look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. He's just like a kid that never grew up, really. Like, but I love him for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you can. Maybe your your Clemson sources may have some intel on that eventually. But that's pretty funny. I'm glad he's enjoying the game, though. Looks like a good game. I mean, looks like things are going very well for him tonight. Who is the nearest team? Oh, yeah. So in Clemson, the nearest team would be
the Panthers.
Well, yeah, the Panthers in football, but what for basketball? I think it's
basketball.
It's the Hornets, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'd be a Toronto fan easily. It's like it's them. I'd rather root for a good team. Yeah, he made the right choice.
Yeah, it would be. It'd be Charlotte then. I would think. Charlotte then.
Atlanta.
Then Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Atlanta. they play.
No, actually, I got that wrong. It would be Atlanta and then Charlotte.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Clemson's
is like pretty closer to Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Good call. Yeah.
I don't actually know the distance to Charlotte from Clemson. I mean, it might be almost equidistant, but I'm pretty sure it'd be Atlanta.
I mean, I always thought that Atlanta was about a 3 to 4 hour drive from Atlanta. So if Clemson's in between, it's probably close to either one, and it's probably closer to Atlanta, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we did some good guessing there.
I get Google Maps on the case.
Yeah. That looks like, yeah. So anyway, good. I'm glad to see Toronto really coming up big here. I thought that the game would be closer, though. I didn't think it'd be a 20-point game right now, but they're doing a great job.
I'm glad. I wanted Philly to get humiliated a little bit. They've been strutting too much. It really drives me nuts.
Yeah. No, I'm with it. I'm with it. I can't stand the Sixers either. I've really had enough of them as well. We will count our way down now to two teams that we cannot stand. Two teams we find tough to take, which makes the entire series very unenjoyable. However, empirically speaking, it has been a very competitive series. And in the West, we now segue to the Rockets Warriors series, which is, you know, as the many basketball pundits on the various media have said and speculated, the tight series that we expected. It's tie after four games. And, you know, it wouldn't be surprising in the least if it went the full seven. But what I've been saying with this series, almost the whole way, I don't know if I texted you about this. I texted my other friends about it. And I said, this reminds me a lot of 2008 Celtics-Cavs. And what I mean is, it went seven games, but I never felt like the Cavs were a real threat to win that series. And I feel similarly with Houston. You know, I mean, not to say that James Harden's been playing bad basketball, but he fell apart in game four. I also feel like the Warriors really should have won both of those games, even though, again, the Warriors had to really scrape and claw just to get the game to overtime in game three. Game four, you know, again, another situation where they could have come back and they could have won it. But that game was closer, and it felt like it was a little more back and forth. But anyway, it just seemed like I never really got the sense that Houston maybe they controlled it early, but I don't know if they've really controlled any part of the series realistically. I mean, they've made it close, but I still feel I get that mental feel of the Warriors having an arm's length. They just haven't been playing that well. The Warriors are getting terrible shooting out of Steph Curry. You barely hear from Klay Thompson. You haven't been hearing from Klay Thompson the whole playoffs. Like, you barely heard from him in the Clippers series too. It's just like, thank goodness for them that Draymond Green has had been reborn, and thank goodness for them that they're getting some production from Kevin Durant being as good as he is. It's just insane. Like, he's been so good, and I've seen them running way more ISOs than I remember, but they kind of have to because Steph has just been miserable from the field for the most, you know, cumulatively, he's just been bad. So for the series, it hasn't been a pretty watch. All the flopping, all the whining of the refs, it just hasn't. Even though it's supposedly, you know, on paper, it looks like it's a great series, I haven't been having fun with it. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but let me get your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, I agree on everything. I think even though it's tied, I still think that, you know,
Golden State's look like the better team. I mean, last night's game actually was kind of fun because the Rockets had a double digit lead for you know most of the second half. Then the Warriors in the fourth quarter just kind of chipped away, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, it's only one possession. There's about a minute and a half left, and you know, Golden State had a really good look. I mean, I think it was 111-108. The under 10 seconds, and Golden State inbounded the ball, and KD got a pretty good look. I mean, he actually had a good look at the basket and missed the shot, but which would have tied it. But yeah, last night's game was fun, but I agree. Like the flopping's been a little much. It's been really chippy, as we talked about last week, and you know, and then of course, so on was it Saturday night when. You know, Harden left the game, you know, because he got poked in the eye, and his eyes, man, you almost can't look at it. It's hard to look at right now because it's all red. And he was, you know, he was in the locker room for a good long time, probably, you know, probably most of the second quarter, I think. So, yeah, I definitely agree that that Golden State is – you know, I agree that I think they're going to win the series. Yeah, Houston's like a strange team. I mean, Capella's kind of been a disappointment, in my opinion, and so has Chris Paul. I mean, both those guys have kind of slipped. I mean, Capella's surprising, but I think he's nursing an injury. Paul all of a sudden just looks old. I mean, he really does. And, you know, I mean, it's obviously, it's, you know, it's Harden's team and he takes most of the shots and, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be that is a team to watch in the off season too, because just cause they're so dependent. I mean, you talk about a team that's dependent on one player. This team without Harden is a lottery team.
Wow.
I mean, don't you think?
Oh, I agree. No, I agree.
I mean, Chris Paul at age 33.
Yeah.
I mean, Capella's a good player, but Eric Gordon.
Don't you think he's more of a system player, though? In
Capella?
Yeah, because it's like he is nothing if the other guys aren't doing well offensively. He just seems to be like a scraping and rebound guy, like meaning he gets the rebounds, and then whenever there's a play and somebody – you know, maybe someone gets dribble penetration, he can be open for a shot there, or he can pick up a ball and jam it when people find him open and when he peels out and gets, you know, along the baseline, something like that. But he can't read his own shot. That's obvious.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No. If he's your first or second option, that's a bad team. Yeah. That's an awful team.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, then, like, you look at the way this team is constructed. Okay, so they had, like, Tucker last year and Chris Paul and – Gordon and Capella, right? In addition to Harden. And then like they filled in. All these guys are new to the team this year. Shumpert, Rivers, Kenneth Faried, House. I mean, they basically just kind of filled in the roster from guys who've been kind of put on the scrap heap. I mean, it's been it is a testament to what Maury's accomplished and D'Antoni for fitting these guys in, but it's been, you know, it's been weird how, I mean, just like that Carmelo on the team in October. I stand by that. Without Harden,
it's not a hot take.
Yeah, I guess it's not. I mean, but your reaction maybe led me up to believe otherwise, but. Yeah, it's a bad team.
Yeah.
You
know, to put it in perspective, Chris, when the season started, they were garbage. Like, they had one of the worst records in the conference, and they had to go on a serious run just to just to be competitive. And Harden was scoring, you know, like 30 points over like 25 games.
Yeah, he had that huge streak. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was brutal to watch, but. In fairness to them, that's what they needed to do because nobody else is getting it done.
Yeah, and you're totally right. I think they were the hottest team in the second half. or post-trade deadline. I think they had the best record, if I'm not mistaken. They certainly were one of the hottest teams, but I have to check that number again. But yeah, I remembered too, because we did our over unders and I had picked Houston, and if I'm not mistaken, the number was 53, and they won 53 on the nose. So, but early going, they looked terrible. I didn't look like it was going to come close to 53 wins, and so I got a push there. That was the highlight of my over unders picks this year. Was I did get a push.
No, that's quite a run, because I agree with you. I think we were halfway through the season and we were like, oh, there goes that one, Chris.
There was no way.
So good job out of you. I mean, even the push feels like a victory, right? The way that
exactly was, yeah. Given the start, yeah. Absolutely.
One more update, and this is it. I'm not updating this game anymore. 98-70. No, it's 101-70 after the shot by, is that Van Vliet? Who was that? No, who was that? Valanciunas? Who was the guy that just shot that? Maybe it was Gasol. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Looking away.
101-70, now 72. Under 10 to go. I think we can put this one in the refrigerator. This is assuming nothing catastrophic goes down. Great win for Toronto. I mean, just amazing win.
Speaking of updates, you got one on the Angels Tigers for me.
Well, there's one out, and Miguel Cabrera just grounded out. Yes, he's still in the league. 5-2, Angels are winning. I believe this is Hansel Robles to close it out, and Nico Goodrum on the plate. Now there's your next up and comer, man. You know who's been sleeping on Nico Goodrum? You know, but two outs to go for the Tigers to come back in this one. And I've already said way more than I needed to on this game. We you know off the air that Chris and I were getting into it pretty good about that game, because I wanted to put three games up there so that I could balance the screens, because you can do one big screen and two little screens. So I had to put something on the third screen. So I picked the Angels game, and he gave it to me. Chris gave it to me pretty good about that game.
I didn't give it to you. I was actually kind of jealous. I saw the setup you had.
It's a heck of a setup. I got, you know, this all started with the PlayStation View offering Apple TV the option to do multi-screen, and from there it just took off. I'm like, I got a computer, still pretty good, and then I got a bigger monitor for the computer, so now I could watch another game on that thing. So it's pretty neat. I'm really happy. This is a good time to have this setup too, because I got all the games, and so I got hockey going on. I don't miss a goal, I don't miss a shot, and you can even catch up on Sheeran baseball in the middle. It's where it's at. So we have one more series to cover, but maybe at some point, maybe later, maybe when we go into the offseason, we'll talk a little baseball too, because it's amazing how good baseball is in the National League. In the American League, it's pathetic. It's just like two good, like three or four good teams, and a lot of rubble. And I can imagine a lot of teams are disappointments so far, but more on that later. One more series here. And well, first of all, do you agree that Golden State will win the series, right? So I felt that way the whole way, and you did as well.
Yes, I actually think this series is going to be more entertaining than the next one.
The one we're getting to? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, no, I mean assuming Golden State wins. Mm-hmm. I think this series will be more entertaining than Golden State Denver State Portland. That's what I'm trying
to
say.
That's a great point. But, yeah. I mean, and here's the magic question. If you were to pick between the two opponents, which one do you think would give Golden State a tougher time? And I've been having a debate with people about this. Some people say Portland. I was saying Denver because they got better size. But which of the two? And I say better. When I say better, I mean like, it's like they lose in six instead of five. Like, it's not going to be that much better. But which of the two do you think could give them a more competitive series?
Yeah, I think Denver, and just for the reason you said, Nikola Jokic is just, I mean, he's been unbelievable. We've been talking about guys who've like really stepped up their game. He's been fantastic, and you know, he brings that other wrinkle with, where he's just such a good passer for a big. You know, it's he would be a problem for Golden State.
Yeah,
and yeah, I almost wonder. Like, I guess you put Looney on him a bunch. I don't know. I mean, it would be an interest. I
think you have to, because like, Bogut's too slow to keep up with Jokic. Jokic will just dance around him.
Yeah, totally.
So
yeah, it would be interesting because, you know, I think Clay and Steph would really have to work hard to guard, you know, the Denver guards, you know, Harris and Murray, and you know, just those two guys running free with Jokic kind of kicking it out to them, you know, on occasion. I don't know. I think that would be a really, really tough matchup for them. But you know, who knows? I mean, it very well might be Portland playing them. So this is the one series I really don't have a strong feeling one way or the other.
Yeah.
Who's going to win? I mean, you know, it's tied here. I mean, all these series, as you pointed out, except the Boston Milwaukee series are tied, but this is the one I really don't have a good feel for in terms of who's going to win.
Yeah. I dig that because, you know, if you just think about what happened in games 1 and 2, it really looked like Portland was going to take control of that series. I mean, it really looked like, oh man, they're going to just crush Denver in game 3. And what happens? The game goes to quadruple overtime. It was the best game of the playoffs so far. It might be one of the best games in the history of the NBA. It was really good. Like, both teams were giving everything in that game. Jokic had played like 50 minutes in that game, and he was still going out there because it's like you can't bench your best player like that, even though he could barely throw up a shot. You know, Denver did make some dumb plays in the middle of that, but overall, they just brought some incredible heart. Will Barton was just amazing in that game 3 that went 4 overtimes.
And, yeah, he had a couple big shots in the fourth. That was exciting.
Oh, tremendous. You know, the only guy that really didn't have a big game in what has been just a game full of big performances, unbelievably, was Damian Lillard. He was terrible in that game. But CJ McCollum picked him up. And then at the very end, the only guy that hadn't played yet, Rodney Hood, of all the people, Rodney Hood. And he made crucial, deciding shots in the fourth overtime, crunch time of the fourth overtime to win for Portland. I mean, you just got to give it to everybody in that on that night. It was just a big night. I was just privileged to watch that whole thing. Just a great game.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's like I said, yeah, it's been a fun series, and game 3 was great. It was one of the better ones for sure. I did not stay up for that, but I did catch the replay, and that was a fun one.
Yeah, and what's great is that game 4. I was like, all right, well, Portland's gonna give it way back. I mean, Denver blew their shot; they're gonna get stomped in game 4. It was the complete opposite of that. The complete opposite of that. You thought every time you thought that Portland was going to rally and put the game away, somebody on Denver, I think it was Harris or no, I think it was Jamal Murray. Who was it that kept making every shot, like every 3-pointer, you know, down in the last like 2 minutes of that game? But somebody on Denver did. I was listening on the radio. That's why I don't know. I would know if I was watching. But I listened to the end of it on radio driving back from other stuff. And man, I just tell you, Denver has no quit. You thought, oh, they're gonna give it away here, and quite the opposite. They just went and stunned Portland to win game 4. I was very impressed by the way Denver handled that. I mean, that's just incredible. Like, normally, a team that loses a heartbreaking game, they have nothing left for a game, especially when you talk about the game less than 48 hours after game 3 had been played. It was not only a Sunday game after the 4-overtime game on Friday night, but it was an early Sunday game. The game started at 4 o'clock local time. So it's like that's just doing no favors for the road team there. And yet they come out and they establish themselves early. And they go in just an incredible job. I just can't say enough about how they respond, how both teams have responded in various scenarios. Like, this has been really good. And like you said, now I don't know what to expect. I mean, you think, well, Denver will just totally take game 5 going away. We don't know that. We don't know that at all. We know that even less than we know the scenario with the Philadelphia series. This is like completely up in the air because both teams have just come at you with fire. And even if one guy can't make it happen, somebody else steps up on their team. And this is why I think this has been my favorite series so far, and yours too, and everybody's, actually. Everybody's loved this series the most out of all the series in the NBA in the second round.
Yeah, for sure. And again, the whole lack of emotion about these two teams has been fun. I mean, by that, I mean, on my part, I don't have an emotional attachment to either team. I mean, there are players I like on both teams. I'm a big Jokic fan, but I also love Lillard, and from that standpoint, it's a fun series to watch. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I feel like there've been a lot of twists and turns in this one too. I mean, Murray had the bad game 1, and then, man, he had 34 in game four, and he's been like, all of a sudden I'm looking and I'm like, maybe he is really, you know, like, this guy is, a star in the making. It's an interesting series because there are so many, maybe it's a whole, like, the whole aspect of it's, you know, two small market teams, if you, for lack of a better term, that's kind of giving it some extra juice, in my opinion. I don't know.
It's a good call. It's a good theory. I would add to that, you're talking about two teams that had not been heard from in the playoffs in over a decade. The last time that the Nuggets really did anything significant, 2009, lost to the Lakers in the conference finals. They had Carmelo Anthony. They had Allen Iverson. They had Chauncey Billups. And they give the Lakers a good series, but it wasn't enough. And the Blazers have even less going on. They didn't make the conference. This is their first... Well, this isn't the conference finals yet, but they hadn't made the conference finals. I don't even think they made the conference semis. Maybe they made the conference semis because they beat Houston in one. It was a long time ago, but I think Damian Lillard had a big game winner in that one. But they hadn't made the conference finals since the year 2000, and the notable 13-point blown fourth quarter lead. Well, it was, I guess you could say 13 points in the third quarter or whatever. But I think it was 13 points to start the fourth. They blew that game, and you had the Kobe lob to Shaq to ice it for the Lakers, making the first Shaq-era Lakers championship run. And that was just a game I'll never forget. But that was the last time that the Blazers were in the conference finals. And so even though they lost this game, I still think it's right there for them. And like I was saying, there's no assurance at all that Denver's going to win tonight's game, even being in Denver. Now, I've said that it's very tough to beat the Nuggets at home, but Damian Lillard has played so badly in the last couple of games. I got to feel like maybe tonight things turn around and he just has a monster game. If you could get the over-under of points, you want me to look that up? I can look that up. You want me to look up the prop for Damian Lillard number of points tonight? And
Sure.
Yeah, let's see how many points we think he'll get. Okay.
Just while you were talking, I looked up in 2016, they made the semis. They played the Warriors. I think they played the Clippers in the first round.
It was may have been against the Clippers then, because I was thinking of a shot that Lillard made.
I thought that was against Houston too. Now I remember kind of the same thing.
It felt
thing.
Like
now,
Houston, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. But definitely in 2016, they played the Clippers in the first round, and they lost the Warriors in 5 in the second. But yeah, I thought it was the Warriors too, and I'm trying to think. That must have been 2014. They beat the Warriors, mm-hmm. and it was game 6, 99-98, and that was the one where I think that was the one where Lillard hit made that big three to ice it. That's right. That was 2014.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. So let's give it to you. So the overall.
I just gotta say, it doesn't feel like Lillard's been in the league that long for some reason. I don't know why. Sorry, but go ahead with it.
Yeah, actually, has been in the league for a bit, right? Like, yeah. at least 8 years, from what I remember. You know, so here it is: Damian Lillard over under points under 27.5 is a slight favorite at -115. So in other words, the casinos think that hit, you know, leaning towards the under, but not by a lot. So the over under is 27.5 points. Do you think he'll get more than that or less tonight in Denver? In Denver.
I mean, he's been averaging 28 a game now.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not. Maybe
he's averaging 30 a game. I'm going to go over.
I'm going over too. I think he's going to have like 35 points. I think that over is going to happen. I feel like the over's happen, even if they lose. Because if you remember game two, they lost that Portland won the game. No. I think it was game one where Denver won. But Lillard still had a big night. Like, it was like 36 points or more on game one, even though they lost. So I really think he's got the heart of a champion too. He'll have a big game. I think Jokic will have a big game. You're going to have a lot of points in game five. A lot of points. And do you want to do an over-under for that? I can show you that too. Let's see. I don't think it really matters though, because like in the playoffs, who's keeping track of the total points anyway? Like, it doesn't matter. So yeah, let's watch that tonight. I'm looking forward to it. I don't even know where to go as far as picking the winner. I mean, my original prediction was Denver. I'm going to stay with it. It looks good, but I would not be surprised at all if Portland won. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, last week I said Denver just because I thought the size matchup would really come to play, and it has a little bit, but I'll go with Denver just because I'm, you know, Jokic has been unbelievable, and I think that I just don't think I think you know he's going to give the Blazers fits.
Love it. Yeah. All right. Yeah. There's no reason for me to go back. The games, the series have been so close. So I think we both are on the same page with this one. I just major props to both teams. It does feel like fresh blood this year with these two teams, and it's good. I love to see that. I think we just had enough of like LeBron versus Golden State in the playoffs every year. Like, it's just like, we don't care anymore. Maybe not that we don't care. It's just that we want something different. And
we're getting it this year. Other than the Warriors, we're getting it.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
That's really
true. We're going to have, I mean, if it's Philly or Toronto against Milwaukee, and then, you know, either Denver or Portland against Golden State, it's, you know, it's fresh blood, and it seems you don't see that often, you know, making it this far in the playoffs. I mean, you know, we talked about Portland last year getting knocked out in the first, getting swept in the first round, and Denver wasn't even in the playoffs last year. And here they are, you know, two games from the conference finals. So,
yeah.
So that's, I like that aspect. And it just, you know, I get tired of hearing about how, you know, the NBA playoffs are just not exciting or not predictable. They're too predictable. It's always the same teams. Well, now it's not. And so, I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe we're on a stretch where these are the teams that are going to be in the final four every year, but who knows? We'll see. But it's certainly fun.
Yeah, it's easy to root for the Blazers, for definitely. And it's pretty easy to root for Denver as well. And the other thing that I find really great is that the fan bases have really embraced the team. They always have. Like, they've been really good fan bases forever. Like, the Portland fans, they could win like 10 games, then they would come out and they'd be loud and they'd be all over it. And kind of a similar scenario with Denver, because no matter what their record is, you go to Denver, it just feels like it's the toughest game to win that night. Especially if a team's on a big old long road trip and then the last stop is Denver. It's like, dang, that is tough. So that has played into the dynamic. It's really enhanced the series for me. And I'm very excited to see how it ends. So tonight's game 5 just minutes away as we record this program. So we have given you our predictions for it. And I'm saying I cannot wait. Should be fun. And I think that's it. Do you have any other thoughts before we do a very quick draft lottery preview? I mean, how do you predict that? Like, just, you're not predicting anything. It's ping pong balls. It's just like,
I predict the Knicks are going to get the first pick in the draft.
They better. That's what I predict. That's kind of what I think, right? Don't you think they should get it?
We're going to go back to that where the ping pong balls are frozen and people are complaining. And yeah. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm just kidding around.
Wouldn't it be funny, though? They should. I mean, they're a bad enough team, right, this year? Jeez.
Well, I mean, who's to say who should, right? I mean, it's like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I mean, they're bad enough, but gosh, Cleveland's horrendous. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's just kind of draft, please, though, Dave. Like,
just don't be Cleveland. I'm done. They don't deserve. They should be on probation from the NBA draft lottery for the remainder of the deck for the next like 10 years. It's just like,
yeah, what, they had the number one pick like 4 years and
yep,
four out of 5 years or something crazy like that, or 4 times in 10 years or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but mm-hmm. Yeah, they had Kyrie, they had LeBron, they had the kid from Kansas, Wiggins, wasn't he picked first?
Yeah, man.
And then
Wiggins,
they trade him.
Right. Yeah.
And then who was the guy from UNLV who they picked?
Oh, was that somebody?
He was a total bust.
Brown, somebody. I will get that name.
Yeah, I can't even remember it now, but he was horrendous. And yeah, I mean, as a Celtics fan,
Anthony
Bennett.
Oh, God, awful.
As a Celtics fan, they never had the first pick in the draft. So I'm.
They did, but then they traded it.
Oh, they trade him. Yeah. But they've never actually picked first.
Right.
Which is kind of unbelievable. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, never?
Yeah, it's a little unbelievable. In the beginning, you could have said, well, it's because they've been so good. When are they ever going to be bad enough to be in position to get a number one pick? But it's
the whole decade of the 90s. They were bad
unbelievable. That was unbelievable. There's no question. You know, the year everybody thought they were getting Tim Duncan and then they didn't.
Oh, man.
That was a surprise.
That was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they had another shot too when their KD was coming out, and they had I can't remember if they were third that year. I can't remember, but they were in the mix to get either, Odin or Durant, and they got neither. And then of course they traded that player for Ray Allen in that deal, I think. And I'm just a bitter Celtics fan. I've never seen my team pick first. I've never had that excitement of like, my team steps up to the podium first and then I can for all intents and purposes shut off the draft.
Yeah. Will you be throwing things at the Knicks when that pick, though? Because I think the one with the best odds would be, what, Phoenix right now?
There's no best. Well, the top three teams have equal odds. That's
correct.
The
I mean, they changed that, which is good. I'm glad. I'm glad. For
I that. Like that. I'm, yeah, I'm like a fan. Yeah. So it's like, I think it's, yeah, it's Phoenix, Cleveland, and New York, right? And then I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's like they have 15% chance of getting the first pick, and it's all equal. And then I can't remember. It drops off somewhat significantly. I think it's like, I don't know if it's like 10% for the four team. I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. But the thing I'm going to be watching now for is that, if someone sneaks into the top three from, lower in the lottery, below eight specifically, that means the Celtics are going to have another lottery pick. They'll have Memphis Grizzlies, because Memphis is currently at eight. And if a team below them, I can't remember the exact order, but the team picking who's ninth currently would or somehow to get into the top top three, it would it would force that Memphis pick down, and the Celtics would get it, and they'd have two lottery picks.
Ooh,
which yeah, but which I don't really want, because next year the Memphis pick, it rolls over, and next year it's top six protected, and the following year after that it would be top it would be unprotected.
Oh, so you'd rather just wait it out for that?
Just keep it rolling, baby, yeah. and then let's go.
Let it ride.
Yeah, why not? Right? I mean, like, it's not supposed to be a great draft. I mean, we'll talk about the draft later, and let's
a one pick draft. It's like, if you don't get him or the guy
Ja Morant,
from who was it? Kent State Davidson. Who was it?
I know it's a Midwest school.
Hold on.
Murray State.
Yeah. I was going to get that right. Okay. So, so if you don't get either of them, I mean, it's not even worth it. Just go for value in the second round or something. It's like, that's literally it. Like, if you get past those two guys, that's really the only two guys with that kind of potential in the NBA.
Well, I don't know. There's some nice players. There's some players I kind of like, and we'll talk about the draft. But there are some interesting players outside of those two. But you're right. I mean, I'm not even that high on Morant, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, he got like all of this excitement over one game, like just one game, literally one game.
Yeah,
it's a fair point.
Yeah, so. It is one of those drafts that, like, it gets the tempers flaring, because, you know, if you don't get the number one pick, you're like complaining, and then there's conspiracy theories like the Ewing draft, or you know, the LeBron draft, where LeBron goes to his, you know, basically the team he, you know, in from his home state,
right?
And it's a generational player, and that doesn't happen too often.
Do you think that – this is an interesting question. This is completely random. But if LeBron was selected by the Bulls, do you think he would have enjoyed it that?
He would have enjoyed it?
Yeah, because like, it would have been the team he rooted for, because Michael Jordan was his idol and so on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That would have been very interesting. It would have been a lot of media parlay with that, like a parlaying that pick. Oh, my goodness, a continuation of a Bulls – legacy or something like that would have been interesting, you know. But remember, similar to Dan Gilbert, Jerry Krause cannot get out of his own, or I'm sorry, Jerry Reinsdorf and all those guys can't get out of their own way. So there's no real way to know. But that would have been a very interesting one, though, because it would have been like, then what number does he wear? Because, you know, would have worn 23 otherwise. Would it have been 6? Would it have been 22? Would it have been 24? I don't know. Things I can just think about. Now,
what was 6? Was like his high school number or something like that? Wasn't that the significance of that?
I'm gonna take your word for it on that.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I really don't know, but would have been interesting. Yeah. Okay. Question two. If the Lakers get the pick, you think there's conspiracies before? If the Lakers get the pick.
Then I'll throw some at the TV.
I can imagine.
Because then, not only did the Lakers get the pick, then the Celtics get number 8 or number 9 or whatever.
Oh, no.
Yes.
So that's rough for the Celtics.
That's the scenario.
It'd be good for me, but it would be rough. It's kind of weird, though, because I think getting Zion Williamson is like a curse in disguise. Here's why. I understand that LeBron had very good things to say about him, but there's going to be a lot of pressure for the Lakers to win now, and I don't know if it's a good environment for Zion Williamson. He kind of needs a fresh slate type environment. I don't really think that a place with all the chaos that the Lakers have is a good fit. So now that's me on the record. This is being recorded, so I don't know what you think of that about that, but it would be entertaining in the moment, but I don't actually know if that would work out for Zion.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, it is weird because they basically play the same position, so he'd kind of be, you know, backed up there, and it just yeah, it would be a very strange fit. I don't know what, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I don't really know what the Lakers would do in that situation. I mean, I almost feel like they'd have to,
you're putting it on your lips. Can I say it?
Yeah, sure.
Would they trade LeBron?
Well, I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking some, they have so many guys.
Can you imagine that? They're going to trade LeBron after all that?
Oh, they could. God. I mean, that could happen, right?
I
mean,
I would not kill it. A lot of people would kill it. I wouldn't kill it. I think that'd be a very interesting situation because they might still get a pretty good return from various teams for LeBron, because I think people might think it's a fluke and they may pin it on the Lakers' incompetence, which is completely accurate. There was definite incompetence, but it would be a very interesting opportunity. And if you had the kind of foresight, you know, like Jerry West level foresight, you might be able to pull that off. It's very interesting. Like, it would be outrageous that day, but it could be. It's not a completely outrageous idea in my mind, and maybe I'm a mongo, but I think that could be interesting. I don't know. Does that seem sensible at all to you?
I don't see it happening.
See it happening either, because the marketing stuff is just all LeBron. Like, he is the NBA at this point.
I was going to say, plus, you know, LeBron is just such a natural fit in Ty Lue's system.
Oh, God. Oh,
that, oh. You know, you don't know what you're getting with.
Good job out of you bringing it up. We were down to the last minute of the show. Yeah, I got to give it to you. And there are no other candidates being considered.
On. Everything I've read is like, this has been discussed. They've made him an offer, and it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to happen. We both called it. We both knew it. We knew it. Everybody knew it.
You know, at some point, LeBron, maybe it's already happened, he's going to take a hit for just how much control he's had over the teams he's been on, it's coaches, it's like personnel decisions. Although it seems like whatever the Lakers did this offseason was, you know, Magic and Pelinka, but we'll see. They have a whole bunch of guys coming off the books this year.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how they construct the roster. With Magic out of the picture, I almost like him. Like, how the heck does Pelinka still have a job?
That's a great question. I'm truly surprised. I don't know if he's going to keep it, but it's a surprise. You're right. I thought they'd both be gone. Like, in other words, why would Pelinka even want to be there? I think is my question. It's like, just go. Like, what's the point? Like, it doesn't seem like it's going to. I feel like, what's in it for him to stay around that pile of poo right now? I don't really see what's in it for him.
And wouldn't being an agent, like a high powered sports agent, wouldn't it be a more lucrative job than being a player personnel guy? I don't know. Maybe the Lakers are paying him handsomely, but I just think, you know, you get a cut of every contract you sign and all that. I don't know. It never made sense to me, Dave. I don't know. But I'm always on the lookout for who's zigging when everyone else is zagging, and the Lakers certainly did that when they hired him. But I don't know. That's a strange one.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be. There's so much opportunity for the Lakers, but it's just tough to trust them right now. It's like they basically don't have a GM right now, right? And it's May. So I don't know what the answer to that is. I mean, it doesn't seem to matter because I feel like LeBron's going to push him to sign on a bunch of other aging veterans. And
Wait. Pelinka is the GM, isn't he?
You think he's going to take over and be the GM in the GM? Like the sole arbiter of basketball operations?
I think that's his job title, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I mean, he is technically the GM in title.
Yeah. I don't know.
So you believe that this is just going to be it? Like, this is going to be no other guy. This is just going to be
Oh, you mean to
This is just a Heyman on me. I feel like it's, I think you're right. I just didn't.
No, I mean, but like, no, that is a good question because Magic was technically, was he like president?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a president.
So you're saying there needs to be someone to fill that role, which yeah,
thought there would be. Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that. Yeah, how does that work then? Because
well,
that guy comes in and is like. Who's Rob Pelinka? I don't have they hired someone?
No, they haven't. I think there's no indication of what they're gonna do. So all we can say at the moment is that Pelinka is the de facto GM. Though the thing that makes the hierarchy of president and GM and assistant GM, it really is just like fancy verbiage for this guy runs all the basketball operation, this guy's the GM, this guy's the assistant GM. This guy's the assistant to this assistant GM. So when you're president of basketball operations, in essence, you are the grand GM, and the one who's labeled the GM is kind of an assistant GM. So that's my read on that. Like I see it in baseball too, because you've got a president and then you've got a GM. But really, at the end of the day, the president is the one who's going to have the final say with the basketball decisions, other than the owner. So that's. It's a guess, but I think that's where that ends up.
But yeah,
it's a mess. I know. It's a disaster.
We always end up with talking about the Lakers at the end of the show. It's kind of funny how that works. So.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's just such an epic fail. But it's also because of LeBron, and it is really true what they say. LeBron moves the needle, and ultimately, him not being in the playoffs. It's going to end up leading to this kind of discussion. And I think if LeBron was on another team, if LeBron was on, let's say LeBron was on the Mavericks this year, I think we would be ending like most of these shows with Mavericks talk because LeBron really has that kind of cachet as a personality and he deserves it too. Like he really has earned it. There's no question, but now in his old age and not producing as well as he used to and trying to make all the personnel decisions. I mean, it's created quite a tempest, I must say. So, I don't know. I have no idea what this offseason is going to bring. There's an opportunity for them to really score, but I'm just not sure. So, we'll talk about that later. But anyway, yes, they are going to hire Lou. You just have to deal with it. It's tough to take this franchise seriously when they hire a guy with who quit the team, by the way, because he was citing headaches and migraines and things, which... undoubtedly had to be had in some part caused by LeBron. I mean, I can't believe that he'd be willing to go back to that. Maybe that's why it's taken so long for that to be official.
Well, you know, like I say, there's only 30 jobs. So
yeah, that's true.
This is what you want to make a career at. I mean, unless your name is like Pat Riley or, you know, Red Auerbach, you can't be too picky really. I mean, I was just thinking about it. It is so weird not having LeBron in the playoffs, isn't it? Just feels like it feels like there's like this gap, you know, there's no other way to put it. It just feels very strange that he's not, you know, you're not turning on a game there he is number 23 or, I don't know.
Yeah.
And not in a good way either. Like I thought, you know, I have sort of a love-hate relationship with LeBron, but it just feels like a little bit of an emptiness there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with any of that. I mean, you know where I stand on LeBron. I think for me, it's a hate-love relationship at this point. Jeez. It's different when he plays for your team every day, right? Like, I've kind of felt
a little
of that, but now that he's like on your team and you live it, day after day, it's just a totally different scenario. And I'm curious to see what other fans would be like if they had LeBron playing and then this happened. Like, it was just not a good season. He got hurt, and then he was just pointing fingers at people. And then when the shit hits the fan and Magic quits the team because he's too afraid to tell Jeannie, he goes out, like, what is it, like 4 weeks later and says, oh, I couldn't believe he left. I am shocked. Are you buying that, Chris? I'm not buying that.
Yeah. I still don't understand what happened there.
Yeah, I mean, I can laugh at it now. It's just too funny not to laugh. So, all right, that's enough. I don't want to talk about the Lakers for like the end of the show, be the end whole show. So let's close it up here. We've got the Nuggets game underway. They were up early, but it's going to be a great game. Chris, this has been a great time. Thank you very much for coming on. And it's been really fun talking about all the scenarios. And next week, we do the draft lottery recap, where the Knicks will march in triumphant, we think. We'll see. Celtics may end up in the top six. Maybe they don't. We'll see. The Bulls. Well, top,
yeah, eight. Or nine, rather. Yeah. Yeah, right. The Bulls. Yeah. Yeah, the teams to watch: Bulls, Cavs.
Suns,
yeah. Knicks. Hawks, even.
Yeah, Hawks. Yeah. That's right.
And the Hawks are interesting because they could have two. They could have two top six picks, I think. I can't remember what the Mavericks pick protection is, but yeah, they might have a couple of high lottery picks. Keep an eye out for them.
Right on.
If they, man, oh wait, hold on. One, my parting shot. If they get Zion, I'll be going through the roof.
Yeah, but they better not trade him again. They already blew with Doncic.
Something tells me they wouldn't this time.
I hope not. That'd be even a stupider thing to do because people in Atlanta are all too familiar with Duke. I mean, Duke is right there. It's like it's not that far away from Atlanta.
No, so, it's about 5 hours.
Yeah. It's very gettable driving distance. So, I'm with that. Geez, I might have to go to Atlanta for a game if it goes to Atlanta.
Do it, man. Do it.
Yeah.
I'll get some good seats.
We'll
have fun. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go back. I haven't had a Georgia peach in a long time. There's nothing like it. I have California peaches here. They're very good, but Georgia peaches are just on the moon, man.
We're almost at that point too, I think. I gotta go to the supermarket, but we're pretty much at peach season right now.
Oh,
so.
I love the peach season. I live for it. Well, enjoy it, Chris, once the moment arrives. Any day now, really.
And, yeah.
That's going to be great. So meanwhile, let's enjoy all the basketball action. Much, much more to come. Next week, we'll break it all down for you again. So, Chris, have a great weekend. All the best. Enjoy the rest of these games in the meanwhile, and we'll do it again a week from now.
Thanks so much, Dave. Thanks for having me again.
You got it. Thanks. Take care.
Take care.
All right. That's Chris in Georgia. That's our show. What a show. Enjoyed it. Incredible juice. I mean, just call it Jack LaLanne Hour because there's so much juice. I'm Dave Medina. You can follow us on Twitter at DipCow. You can follow us on the web, DipCow.com. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Pod Center, Stitcher, whatever it is. Look for Dave in the City Out West. Facebook, same thing. Look for Dave in the City Out West. And you'll catch on to what we're up to. We'll see you next time. So you wanna be-